Today's guest on the Awakening Conscious Leadership podcast is Herwig Kuzatz. He's a sound strategist and founder of the company Sound Strategy. He helps visionary leaders and organizations design sound that people trust, turning scattered audio into intentional signals that support trust, recognition, and action. His work sits at the intersection of strategy, emotion, and sound, shaping experiences at scale, from global brands to public systems used by millions. Emily, we've just been talking to Herwig today. What was that like for you?
Oh, what a wonderful conversation we had. It was so full and there was so much in it in terms of the topics we covered, the breadth of conversation. I really enjoyed how he spoke about where this all came from, the moment at which he realized sound needed to be part of what he worked on and what he did for work. So that was a really beautiful story. And also the ways that it's been impactful as well. He spoke about the Vienna transport system and the impact of bringing sound in, working on sound in that system with the organisers and so on, and how that has impacted the way that users have enjoyed the transport system as a result of that. He spoke a little bit at depth as to the detail of that as well, which was fascinating, and how that could be so impactful. And this idea around sound being strategic. It's so important. There's so much sound in our world. It's so noisy, our world. And actually, he's really bringing down things down to the fundamentals of sound, even to the point of the importance of silence, and how sound and silence impacts us day to day. Yeah.
Yeah, for me too, this sense of I found myself throughout the interview with Herwig was, becoming increasingly aware of sound in my life. And also, I was thinking about the leaders listening to the show, and how they might be start to become increasingly aware of the sound in their systems, or the sounds. So yeah, it's just really, such a seemingly unusual topic, but suddenly when we were talking, so obvious that sound, as you say, is everywhere in our lives. And as he Herwig talks about from noise to signal, and so I think for anyone who is interested in sound and how that shows up in leadership and in their world and in their organization, this is a great podcast with Herwig.
Absolutely. And also not to forget that also we're not talking just about external sounds here. We're talking also about the internal sound system as well. So the voice within, the internal dialogue we have, and the impact that those sounds can have, and the sounds that we have from memory and so on. All these things have a big impact, and something that organizations, leaders can really make a difference to in terms of their organization, their employees, and so on. So sound is definitely strategic, and it's a really interesting. I think we've finished off with some really interesting insights and some really interesting takeaways for our listeners. So I'm really joyful about bringing this podcast to our listeners, and I think it'll be very, very interesting for people to hear.
Yes, and with that, enjoy the show. So, hi Herwig, great to have you on Awakening Conscious Leadership today, and Happy New Year to you. This is early January, January the 6th, 2026. It was great to talk to you kind of at the end of last year about your sound strategy work and how you work with leaders. And particularly, we'd love to know more about how your work, and specifically, to begin with, the question that Emily and I were having was what you mean by how leaders can shape signal in their organizations.
Yeah, thank you, Johnny, for inviting me and Emily. Yeah, so to your question, for me, signal is what reduces uncertainty. It tells people you are safe, you are oriented, and this is what matters now. So noise is the opposite. It drains attention and trust, and leaders create signals through decisions, language, and culture, and also through soundscapes.
It's interesting. I'm hearing that there's almost two aspects to this. There's the kind of metaphorical sound, if you like, that people sit within an organization and that leaders can create. But then there's also the explicit audio sound that comes through as well. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you work with those two different aspects?
Yeah, so I normally start always with a workshop to understand what they have, you know. So the first part is active listening, so to get lots of information and to analyze the values, the mission, the vision. But for this podcast, I also thought very personal about what leaders get, because, for example, that's not something I offer in my service, but what would be very helpful for leaders is that they realize that their voice is an instrument, so that they can use it. Like, for example, if I take a very simple sentence like "I am here," with the pitch, if I say it like "I am here," it's excited. And if I say it low, "I am here," it's calm, it's serious. And another parameter would be, for example, volume, of course. You know, if I say "I'm here," then it's very intimate. And if I say "I'm here," it's commanding. And a third thing is, of course, pace. I could say like "I'm here," so it's rushed, you know. And on the other hand, if I say it slow, "I am here," so it's weighty. But the next level would be like emphasis. Like, it's like a combination of this, you know. Like, if I say like "I am here," it's like self-assertion. And if I say "I am here," it's more about focus on presence. And if I say "I am here," it's insistence. And then there is even a deeper level, the tone, as we know. You know, I could say it neutral, like "I'm here," like plain fact, or I could say it defensive, like "I'm here." So, and or angry, like "I'm here," or sad, "I'm here," or confident, "I'm here," or questioning, "I'm here." And so you see, it's always the same three words, but the sound, the tone changes everything. So the intent, the attitude, the emotion. So the voice is like a connection, you know, that truly connects us.
How aware do you feel most people are aware of
Ooh, that's a good question in your
that?
for your podcast. I would say not that much. I mean, for example, what helps, of course, I meditate every day since over 15 years, every day. So that helps to be more aware of what I hear, what I experience. But I think there are so many information in our days that we have to process, especially as leaders. So it's often hard to calm down and really filter the information that we let through.
And I, really get the sense that, as you gave that example of "I'm here," it can take on such different meanings depending on tone, pace, emphasis, all of those different aspects. And if we're not aware of that, if we're not aware of how we're using the instrument we have and the words we're using and all those different aspects, then the messages can be completely misconstrued. The kind of, as you say, the sort of signal that we give off can be completely misconstrued. And it reminds me a little bit of acting as well. When you hear people going into acting school, and I remember watching a fantastic video of a whole range of different very well-known actors saying the phrase to be or not to be. I don't know if you've seen it. and it again, different emphasis, different ways of saying it gave completely different meaning. And like you say, in an organization, different signal. And I think, it sounds like this could have such a huge impact on organizations.
And it's interesting because some of the kind of the key competencies for leaders are communication, and influence, and of course self-awareness. And I'm hearing that having that awareness as to how you communicate, how you influence, how you lead, through your language and your communication, that's key. And also, Herwig, when we were talking, you were talking, I again, just for the benefit of our listeners here, about the work that you do day in, day out. I just thought it was fascinating when you spoke to me about, because I was just really curious. I'd never really heard of sound strategy and what it was. But when you started to talk about it suddenly opened my eyes to, well, we're surrounded by sound all the time in our environment. We're not necessarily conscious of it. It's just in our soundscape, but it has an impact on us. So what you obviously we're talking to initially here is around leaders and their voice and their communication. But I was wondering about if you could talk a little bit more about what you do day to day with the soundscaping that you do. For example, I think you mentioned, did you mention the Vienna transport system? That suddenly was what brought it to life for me. It was like, oh, right, okay, suddenly I was suddenly aware of sounds, even though I've not been on that transport system. I imagine what it would be like in the UK or something of like, oh, actually, I'm on this bus and I've heard this sound, I've heard that recording, I've heard this. But, can you tell us a little bit more for the benefit of the listeners around the work you do and what drew you to it?
Wiener Linien, so the transport of Vienna, that is a very nice project to describe, and it makes me very happy that I could be part of it, because it's kind of the sound of the city. If you take public transport, you hear it, yeah. And so to show you the process, what we did, of course, we listened to all the big public transport systems in the world. Of course, also London or Tokyo or New York or Paris. And we analyzed what sounds they use for enunciations, what voices they use, and notifications. And then we, of course, tried to create our own identity. So it should be a little bit, perhaps we said, around Josef Strauss, the waltz and stuff. That was like the basic idea. And on the other hand, there are so many people sometimes if there is lots of in a rush hour. So how could the sound also calm people to make them feel safe again? Yeah. And the sound, you also have to think it's for everybody. It could hear a little child or old person. So it has to fit all ages, all kind of different situations. But of course, the biggest thing, of course, was safety, I would say, and uniqueness. And so we implemented it everywhere, like in the gong architecture. We also, voice was a real big topic. So we also cast it like, we listened to over 90 women because we knew they wanted a female voice, and then we casted like 8, and then they decided that they like these two, and then they let the Viennese decide. So there was like an online voting, and over 30,000-40,000 people voted for the one voice that became now the Viennese public transport voice. Yeah. And so we implemented it really everywhere. So when you devalue a ticket, you hear the sound. When you buy a ticket in a ticket machine, when you go to an event of them, they have a brass orchestra, they play a signation of this sound. They have a children's how you say stage where they play a children's song. Or they have a museum where all these sounds are used, of course, also like in historical senses and stuff, or futuristic senses. Yeah, so that's a really lovely example.
That's amazing. I'm just it makes me think of the London transport system and how all the noises that you hear there are so stressful.
Well, you hear so many different noises, don't
Yeah,
you?
totally. You're like the screeching of the trains, the clattering, the emphasis of the announcement saying, mind the step and all this stuff,
But you know
minding
what? You know what,
out.
Emily? I love the fact that I was in London the other day, and it just brought me home. I love those sounds. It felt familiar to me. I love this kind of the clack of the train in the tube and the different sounds. And it was interesting, actually, Herwig. I went up to London and I watched the. I went to the Nutcracker, the ballet, and Tchaikovsky obviously did the music. Now, I didn't know anything about the story. My partner, who loves ballet, she told me about the story. And I was completely shocked about the different themes and melodies in the Nutcracker that have been used in so many different ways, in so many different adverts and this. And I was like, oh my God, that reminds me of this and that reminds me of that. So I don't know, something since our conversation has made me more conscious to sound and how it's used. And so yeah, I just that was just coming up for me. And Emily, I love the way you kind of how that might and how it might rattle us in environments, that sense of safety, that sense of calm, that sense of trust. So much coming up for me. Just wanted to, I'm getting excited.
I'm really curious, but I'm absolutely, and we're kind of making it's it's kind of making those things more conscious, which is really, really interesting. I'm starting to become, thinking about the sounds in my life. And I'm really curious with that, with the transport project, how you then measure the impact of that.
For example, they measured like how they have like a customer satisfaction survey every year. And so this went up. I don't know the exact data from 60, they were high anyway, 65 to something like 77 or something in 1 year. So it paid off for them also, of course. Yeah. That's how they measured it. And of course, we won lots of awards also in Britain, like the Transform Awards and
Oh,
stuff.
really? Fantastic. So how did you come to be a sound strategist?
I went I did an MBA, and after the MBA I went to an island for 2 weeks alone, and I was laying on the beach, and I made an exercise in my head. I thought I'm laying on my deathbed and I look back on a successful life, and there was sound, and I'm like, oh, I would love to work with sound. I think my parents, they wanted me to become a technician, or the father doctor, the mother psychologist. So they wanted me to something safe, and so I chose at this moment. I felt like now I did everything they asked me to do, and I want to work with sound. And I was reading an article from Michael Porter about strategy, and I came up with a name for what I'm doing. And I was like, I had like three choices, and one of them was sound strategy, and I didn't finish the article of Michael Porter, and I read further in his article, and the next sentence was, a sound strategy is, and I'm like, oh, holy, I don't believe it. Like, that's the name, And so it was like the start. It was like, how could I combine logic and magic? Because you mentioned the the Nutcracker, and I experienced the Nutcracker when I was six in the Viennese Opera, and for me it was like magic, as a child. I was like, wow, that's fantastic. And so I always was fascinated by sound, and for me it's to understand it better, and also to help people to understand it better, and to make people feel the magic of sound. So that's how it all started. And of course, it was not a straight journey in the beginning. So, yeah, that's how it started.
And it's very interesting that when you were on the beach there reflecting back across your life, and we do that a lot in coaching. We ask people to take themselves to perhaps when they're older, and to look back on their life, the kind of legacy kind of like questions. And it's interesting that from a neuro-linguistic programming point of view, so I'm trained in something called NLP as a coach, and we talk about how we internally represent memories, thoughts. So we filter and we internally represent experiences, and we'll have a kinesthetic, we'll have a visual, we'll have an audio, and sound is so important. So when you were thinking back and reflecting back from that position, sound was coming up for you. So you had a kind of, and we might call that a primary submodality for you in our language. So it's the inner representation. And that you might kind of be more kind of predisposed to sound and audio, but audio is part of our data stream that we're filtering from our experiences, and that what we would record internally represent internally as part of, so I might ask a question to a client like, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you feeling? So hearing and sound is a key data channel for our experience of how we view our self-construct, how we our identity, how we view life, our different experiences. So that the so it's very interesting, and I feel that sound doesn't get explored enough in terms of its impact, its tonality, its pace. So when we talk about submodalities, I might kind of elicit, well, your experience. Can you tell me, okay, how did that feel? What did you see? And what were you hearing? And with sound, I'd say, was it soft? Was it loud? Was it, what was it? What did it sound like? And so, there's more ways in which that sound can be experienced by an individual, and what it then means to them as part of that internal representation. So I was really curious. It's kind of coming up for me in terms of that internal state, how you experience your world through what you hear at data channel, through sound, and what you make that mean to you as part of your internal representation. And I'm just kind of exploring that inner state of that we have as as people. And I don't know, does what I just say to you, does that resonate with you, if you pardon the word there, resonate with you in any way?
I have a question for you. What do you hear when there is silence and you think? Because I think that you hear something inside, because our language is built of syllables. So when I think, I hear it internally, every word. And I think that probably most of the other people will do the same. Perhaps there are people who are different, or you can experience things different. But when I think a sentence, I hear it, every word.
And so sometimes a good way the NLP people would talk about it, sometimes it's like we've got recordings of experiences. And therefore, we've got those recordings. We can hear those recordings. We can hear the voice of different people who are in that particular experience. And as you say, so we can hear through our consciousness, I would say more, so not just our thinking, but our attention. So where our internal attention is going, we can hear sound. And the
For
question
sure.
is, I guess a deeper question is, who's doing the hearing?
I mean, in German, you would probably say the Geist. Yeah, so the mindfulness, probably, I would say in English. Or depends how your spirit is, because perhaps that, you can think there is also a connection, That's more the spiritual way, and we are just vessels who transmit these informations and knowledge.
And I guess on that point as well, we're talking about that internal sound. We've spoken a bit about the impact of external sound and how that can we can create external sound to have an impact. And I think that's a really interesting exploration there about what that internal sound creates for us. Like, what is our internal landscape, sound landscape, and what does that create for us as individuals that then comes out as sound externally too? So much possibility.
So the voice or the thinking voice is a very important sound. And of course, also if I also love to hear music in my head, of course, and probably you also, yeah.
And also, it was making me thinking. So I, meditation. I don't do too much meditation, but from what I understand, I think it's in transcendental meditation. Different types of meditation. Don't they give you a sound
So
to
yeah.
help you to focus, Emily? Yeah.
So in transcendental meditation, there are said to be, well, in mantra-based meditations, there are said to be lots of different types of mantra, and each mantra has its particular sound. And each mantra, the sound is subtle. It's not spoken externally, it's sounded internally. So it's a much more subtle sound, and that sound has an impact on the being. So yeah, it's an interesting thought that the internal sounds that we have, we use consciously, but also we have unconsciously, I think have a huge impact on who we are as individuals and how we go about our lives. Yeah, fascinating. Oh, there's so much to talk about here. There was another question I had around. When I'm no, you must be so sensitive to, I imagine you must be so sensitive to sound, and going into some of these organizations that you work in, I'm wondering if it's not just the metaphorical sound that the organization has and the sound, for example, of the voices of the leaders and so on, but I'm wondering also if you also pick up on things like the sound as you go into a building. The sound of the doors, the sound that's made by people walking around the building, and all those different sounds that impact the environment that the individuals work in, the organization works in.
I would just say I'm very aware. So because I love to focus my attention on everyday sounds and all the sounds there are. And because you mentioned like doors and stuff, I brought kind of two sounds today, and I brought two sounds out of my everyday living. I have like chimes when you enter the office and at home, and also a gong that I use when somebody I have it in the office. When somebody comes, I do like I always ask everybody, it doesn't matter who comes, are you ready for a being one meditation? Being one means 1 minute, together, 1 minute in silent sitting, and I hit the gong and that's it. And I brought these two sounds, and that I don't use them as for my work, because my work is in communication and external. I create external sounds, of course, in all these ways. But that's like very personal sounds that I hear every day, and I like them. Otherwise, I wouldn't use them, of course, every day.
I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, I brought them. I mean, I could play them for a second. I guess I have to share my screen, I guess, that you hear it. Or I play and you tell me if you hear it. Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, and I think there might be an audio setting. Is that right? I mean, I think it might be okay as is. Try it. Let's go with it.
Yeah,
I
I
would
only
recommend.
know when I share my screen, it always works, but let's try it. I try, yeah. Did you hear it?
Yeah, but more in your room than on the
Yeah, I
sound on the
guess.
screen.
So I share my screen because I know when I share it always works perfectly.
Go for it.
Yeah, so that should be working. And you see it also, so like I have like three different chimes because it's always different and still the same. You heard it better?
Yes.
And then I took it three times because it's always it's I looked inside its head, it has It has eight metal sticks, so there are eight tones, so it's always a little bit different how the door hits it. So, like, that's the chime, that's like when I come and when I leave. And on the other hand, here's the gong. I also have it here. And I recorded it once very firm. And you see how long it takes, yeah, till it's gone. And the interesting thing is the softer one also takes very long, but normally I hit it much softer like this. And because I recorded it, I also, of course, I couldn't do it differently. I had to know what tone it is. You know, it's between a B and a B flat. I didn't know. And it's almost like a sine wave. So it's a very, how you would say, clear, clean tone. Yeah.
And I'm really, yeah, it's very interesting because I was thinking as you were talking in our world of I guess the Internet of Things, everything being connected, you've got every my apps, all of my apps have different sounds. My phone has different ringtones. Some of them I actually remind me of it previous experiences that I don't want. So, I kind of change the ringtones or whatever. Or I have ring providers, what do you call it? So when I open the door and stuff, I have a system where I know the door goes ding 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 when it chimes, when it opens, just like yours. Or when I know someone's at the door, it will alert me via my phone. So, and I even have, we have an app for our cat, and when he goes out the flap, it goes meow, on the app. So all of these different sounds that that we're experiencing that are signifying, and as you said, the word signaling. So they're kind of, it's not noise per se, it's signaling. I think so, and I was really curious about those sounds you played us. What I was just kind of really curious about how leaders might work more with sound, given what we're now starting to discuss here. Because I should imagine a lot of leaders will be listening to this for the first time and going, well, I haven't really thought about sound necessarily in this way. They might have done. But I'm really curious about, what tips you can give them, how they might, some steps they might take with working with sound, and also, perhaps maybe. Yeah, the upcoming book that you're writing, which is about called Trust You Can Hear, is that right? I think that's the title. And you say it's a book about a leadership orientated guide to using sound as a strategic asset, reducing noise, increasing clarity, and building trust you can feel. And maybe that's a place to start in terms of, what it is that you're going to be writing about in terms of the book. For how leaders can do this, trust you can hear.
Yeah, so thank you for the question. For me, it's always how can I get from noise to signal? Noise is like, as I said in the beginning, it's like overload. I cannot comprehend. It's too much. And signal is like one layer that helps me to find direction. That helps me. What is the next action, for example, that I do? And to build trust, it's important to be coherent, that the sounds that you use make sense in every aspect. And when they are coherent, you start to be consistent with these coherent sounds. So you try to use them everywhere, of course, in a way that fits this the application, this touch points, the usage of it. And that's it in a nutshell, what they should do in their communication.
And what I'm hearing was that each organization will have its own signal, its own version of that. And I, and I, it's, there's something came up for me as you spoke as well, About how people receive sound as well, and what is noise to one person might be clarity to another. I mean, I've had teenage kids, and you see them working, and they have to have loud music in their ears, and they have to have the TV screen on as well. And then they're saying they're doing their homework, and you're like, really? For me, I mean, I love quietude. Moved down to West Dorset in the deepest countryside, and it's just sublime silence. For me, that creates a fantastic environment in which to be creative and to work. So I'm curious how then it sounds like there's the sound or the signal for the organization from the leader, but there's also what works for the individuals that work within that organization and how you manage that.
Thank you. There are lots of answers for this. On the one,
Sorry.
on the one hand, of course, you have to find the meaning, the melodies, the motifs and stuff. And what I also love to use always is cues, you know, like for example, I just created like the music for a podcast for microbiomes. It's like there are like eight universities. And so I used in the beginning like the bubbling of the gut. So it's
Ooh,
not music, but
I
it's
love it.
connected with their service, with their research. So it's always like when you think in film music, you know, there's the score, but also there are the sounds that fit this product, this company, this organization, and you have to think it holistically to use all these things. And when you said you like it quietly, you know, then it's important. That's what I meant with use it in an intelligent way for the target audience. Because like I said, for the Wiener Linien, they have a children's stage. They have a completely different song for the children's stage than for the brass band where like the older people are listening to. So that's like you always have to know who is listening. So that's like the second question or the second answer to the question.
It's made me really curious, Johnny, about what sounds he would bring in for the
Well,
for our podcast.
and it's
What
so
that would be like.
funny. It's so funny. I'm thinking exactly that, and I was just reading your point in your notes that you sent to us, Herwig, about from noise to signal, which is what we're talking about here. You know, practical ways leaders can audit and design the sound of events, products, services, and brand moments so that the organization feels calmer, clearer, and more aligned. And I think that's what you're talking to. Is that right? We're just by giving that example there. It's interesting because the word interference, so noise, obviously, and thinking about interference, because in the inner world, we obviously, you know, can have interference in terms of our thoughts, which are sounds, as you're saying, their thoughts, their words, their, and so, in, for example, Timothy Galway, you know, who wrote a book called The Inner Game of Tennis. You know, would be talking about, you know, again, that inner voice, that self that has those sounds, if you like, that can create interference. I think he had the formula for potential is something like, or performance is, if I'm correctly, is potential equals, is it, hold on, performance equals potential minus interference. So basically, the interference can get in the way of your performance and your potential. And so we have the inner world that we've been talking to, the inner sounds, the inner thoughts, you know, again, and calming the mind, that meditation and calming those inner sounds. The impact of your communication as a leader on others through your sound, and the impact of your environment and in your organization and the identity of your organization. So sound used in, you know, we would call it almost like the I, we, it. So I internally, we in terms of how you are engaging with others, that kind of resonance together, and it in terms of the systems that you have around you, whether it be, you know, the transport systems, your organizational systems, and how really actually, I guess, well, that's the culture as much as anything else, and what is the sound of the culture. So I'm hearing it on all of these, pardon the pun there, on all these levels, that how sound is showing up, soundscaping is showing up. And I think the importance of being mindful and aware of how the holistic your sound strategy is working on all of these levels. I don't know, that's what's coming up for me almost as a bit of a snapshot of what we've been talking about so far.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest compliment I can get is that somebody says, "Of course it has to sound like this." Because as you mentioned before, there are so many, like the last project I mentioned, they had like 100 ideas that were like this. And when I manage it and help them, that they say afterwards, "It has to sound like this," then I did a good job,
Isn't that interesting? I'm thinking of cars. And I remember when I first heard electric cars. Because often they're very quiet. You often don't hear them, but there was this kind of distinctive, I think this must be the generator or whatever. It does go zzz. There's a kind of like almost sci-fi sound that the cars have. And also sometimes the way I won't mention any brand names, but when a door opens, you'll hear a certain ping or sound. And for me, that's part of my experience of a particular car brand I like driving, for example. And I get again that sense of familiarity, that sense of alignment and connection to a brand, and kind of a sense of that experience. It feels like that I feel part of and connected to, and that again, I'm going to use the word that resonates with me. It's something. So I kind of, again, already starting to think about sound in so many different ways and how it can be used and the impact it has on us individually. And I'm thinking, leaders listening to this now, what's coming up for you, Herwig? What would you like to say to them in terms of, how they might, again, think more about using sound?
Yeah, so don't treat sound as an afterthought. So, it's important that you treat sound as a strategic asset.
I love that idea of it being, a strategic asset. It's and it again that sense of how much it's overlooked, in today's society. We have a very noisy society. It's getting noisier by the minute, and there's noise interference in so many different ways. Drones, for example, when you're in a public event, drones. I mean, how noisy are they, right? But in a world that it's getting more noisy, what would be the first thing that you would recommend?
Precedence is always very important, that you decide what sound has precedence, because there only can be focus on one thing. So even if there is, like, for example, somebody's talking, there's music, then normally the voice should be the precedence, I think is the English word, that the focus, the signal is the voice. For example, or if you have two voices, sorry, two sounds, you always have, it's like in music, a good music leads you. It brings you to the melody, and sometimes the harmonies in the front, or the rhythm, the drums, and it changes. And a good composer, a good producer helps you to help you with the following the focus. And for a leader, I say precedence is very important. Because when you have precedence, you don't have noise, kind of, Even if there's lots around, you say this one you should hear now as an audience.
Yeah, I'm thinking also about, you often hear the phrase, it's done in it's said in a different context, but how can you cut through the noise, as a brand, so that you are heard by your audience. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I use silence as the special sound, you know, like if you are on a, how you say, in an event that is very loud and noisy, if you create a space that is silent, people feel very relaxed when they hear the sound of silence. That's also a famous song, yeah. So yeah, so it always depends. It depends on the surrounding, on the environments, on the situations, and of course on the brand also, because before we said a brand should be calm. Sometimes a brand won't be joyful and playful. It depends, you know. Or, so it's always very helpful to understand what a brand wants to communicate in their mission vision. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. The idea that, silence is a special sound in itself. And from a coaching point of view, that's very much, something that we use in a coaching context. The power of holding silence is profound because it's such a rare experience to be held in a space that's safe and trustworthy and holding silence for someone to think in. And that silence can be such a powerful space for people to stop and to be and to be able to hear their own thoughts, to be able to hear their own inner dialogue, and experience the world, for a moment from a space of peace and quiet.
Yeah, I mean, silence is very important also for music. You know, if there's it, or you say it needs to breathe, you know, so you need silence. You know, it's like the white canvas when you're painting. You need silence for the sound to that it gets its best aroma, kind of, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And again, notes, the silence between notes, the silence between words, all of that is so important
Yeah.
to the message.
If you don't use silence in your speech, you will not sound confident.
No.
And Herwig, we've got a few minutes and mindful of your time as well, actually, with regards to, you know, the podcast. And I feel there's so much more we could talk about. But I'm really curious, you know, when you were preparing and thinking about this session, and we, as I said, it's always just about whatever unfolds. This is the nature of our conversation. Is there anything that you haven't said that you would like to say, that you would like to talk about or explore for the last few minutes that we have?
Now there's silence, yeah. I mean, I love to talk, of course, about the thing I just created, yeah. The Sonic Starter Kit, yeah. So that fascinated me because normally I always create for clients. And of course, so my whole thinking is, what do they want? What do they need? And the Sonic Starter Kit, I came up before Christmas, and it was m much more an artistic approach because I have all this knowledge how these, I call it logos, motifs have to work, and I just did them. And it's like more an artistic approach because I love them. And if somebody else loves them, that's great. But it's without this budget and time consumption. And so that's in my mind at the moment because I just finished it and I'm excited about it if it works. Yeah.
And how might people have access to that
Oh,
tool?
it's online now on my webpage, like as the entry offer. So they can just listen to it. They have like a simple version, like just under 10 seconds. You could see it like a logo or notification. You could use it like for intro, break, or outro. And I have the power of three, where I created, where I extended this theme into 20 and 30 seconds. So you could use like the 20 seconds for the intro, the 10 seconds as a breaker and the 30 seconds as the outro. That was my idea. If it's a podcast, a video series, an event, whatever, you know, that was what I came up to with years of experience, where I said, how can I make it simple? And of course, the speciality is if somebody takes it, it's gone because it's exclusive. It's the sound of this used case then.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because in the past you would have sound libraries, I guess you could, you know, remember, you know, I used to have a music production company years and years and years ago, back in the annals of time. And so we'd have, you know, sound libraries and stuff like that that you would use. But this is what I'm hearing you saying with this new thing that you're working on is that actually it's exclusive. You know, once it's been used, it's that particular sound signature, would you, whatever you want to call the signal, whatever you're calling it. You know, once it's used by a brand, an organization, that's gone. That particular one. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the opposite of what you normally get, because they say you can have the rights for it, but you're not allowed to use it as is. And I'm the opposite. It's you only can use it as is.
So I'm loving the kind of, you know, I hear a very experimental side as well with you and the sound strategy and, you know, your what led you to that term sound strategy. And I see it on the screen here next to your name as well. And this is what you've been talking about. And I guess, you know, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Herwig, today. At the beginning of the year, I'm now going to be highly conscious of sounds. The leaders I work with, I'm going to talk to them about sound and the importance of sound. And I think, you know, the impact of sound, you know, on others and the importance of sound in their organizations, you know, it's just, you've made me more aware of sound and the impact it can have on us individually and collectively. And also just, you know, so it's going to be fascinating for me what I hear across the year. And I guess I, you know, for me, most importantly, what it is our listeners get from, you know, and leaders get from this podcast. So, you know, in terms of this awareness around sound, Emily, anything coming up for you as we look to kind of wrap today?
Yes, I mean, there have been so many lovely aspects that have come out of this conversation. I love that idea of combining logic and magic, and this is your work, using the voice as an instrument, and different sounds for different situations, different listeners as well, the importance of that. I love the fact we talked about the inner sounds as well as the external sounds, that kind of, there's you know, there's two different spaces there, and what those actually, you know, the sounds that are inhabited in those, and sound, how it can be strategic. I think that's a really powerful way of looking at sound. And again, you know, like Johnny said, I think I will be very much more aware of sounds in my environment and internally as well. I think that's a really interesting way to start the year too. We know that you've got a book coming out, Trust That You Can Hear, which is, you know, a leadership-oriented guide to using sound as a strategic asset. Reducing noise, increasing clarity, and building trust that you can feel. So really looking forward to seeing that come out. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for your insights, your thoughts, your wisdom in this space. It's been really, really interesting talking to you. So we have been listening to Herwig. How do I pronounce your surname? Kuzetz. Thank you. And you'll find his details next to the podcast. So do join us next time, listeners, for more in-depth conversations about awakening conscious leadership. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Herwig.
Thank you, Emily. Thank you, Johnny. And don't forget, you know, the ears are open 24 hours, you know. Mm. They never are shut down like the eyes or other senses, yeah.
Yeah, do you know, I know we're finishing here, and it's just when you did that, for obviously the people are listening here that rather than seeing the video, but what I saw you do, we put your fingers to your ears there, and as soon as you did that, it reminded me now of what I see everywhere is people wearing headphones, whether they're the big headphones or the little headphones, and in their world listening to whatever they might be listening to. Sometimes, and it's interesting because there's sounds just everywhere, and there seems to be more and more of a proliferation of sound and access to our sound in life. So just as you did that, it kind of made me think about that.
Mm. Yeah. And sound is also very social. Just think about birthdays or funerals or weddings, whatever. There's always music. You know, it's always.
And we just had a lot of the Christmas experience and the New Year's one,
Yeah, last Christmas, I remember.
on repeat.
Yes, absolutely. I've had a carol going around my head for the last week. It's been
It's interesting, we spoke about, I know we're wrapping up here, but we spoke about the inner dialogue, the inner sounds, the inner recordings. And sometimes I find myself suddenly remembering a song from when I was like, I don't know, in assembly when I was seven, and I was like, well, what triggered that song that suddenly, or that plays in my head? And why, what triggered it? Why was I triggered to listen? We're constantly having these recordings of sounds that we've experienced in our lives, from our past that come back up. It just fascinates me. So much to think about.
That's true.
So maybe as a last thought to our listeners, want something that you said, Herwig, was considering what sound has most precedence. So what sound in your life, what sound in your world needs most precedence? And I also love what you said, Herwig, about silence is the special sound.
Yeah,
So,
that will probably a good exercise for the listeners to perhaps tomorrow stop three times during the day and just listen for like 5 seconds,
I
think
see
that's
what
a
that brings. lovely exercise wherever you are. Just listen.
Take a
Wow,
moment.
I love that.
Well, thank you so much, Herwig. And it's goodbye from me
Thank
and
you for
goodbye to
inviting me.
Yeah, and it's
lovely.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye from me, and looking forward to, maybe having another conversation another time in the future, Howick, and I wish you well.
I wish you well too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.